Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to your unofficial Eurovision podcast. Hello, everybody. Yes, welcome to another Eurovision Jukebox Jury. I'm Ewan Spence, and this is yet another podcast in the run-up to the Eurovision Song Contest 2010, happening at the end of the month, 25th, 27th and 29th of the tongue-twisting month of May over in Oslo at Telenor Arena. Questions and answers will be dealt with in the Question and Answers podcast, which I will be doing live from Oslo from the 24th, so stay listening to that. But joining me now to talk about these songs, some Eurovision fans who hide under the credentials of journalism. We have From the Scotsman doing his best to bring all the fun of Oslo and the Telenor Arena back to one of Scotland's leading national newspapers. We have David Elder.
Hi, Ewan. How are you?
Like, four words. I'm not doing any more than that.
Okay, Oslo will be my 21st Eurovision Song Contest as a journalist. I've been doing them all since Zagreb. Loving doing this. The last 4 or 5 years, I have covered it for The Scotsman. I write a wee sort of humorous piece for them. It's usually a bit tongue-in-cheek and brings the kind of the flavour of Eurovision to the Scottish readers. So that's what I'm all about.
It certainly is, as we've always said here, a riot of colour and music and spectacle. Also joining me from Kingdom FM, it's their breakfast Eurovision on the spot cub reporter, Elaine Dove. Hello, Elaine.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
I don't know what everybody else is. They'll have to reply. That's not a problem. If you want to get in touch with the show, just drop me an email, ewanspence@gmail.com, or you can follow myself on Twitter as well, which is twitter.com/Ewan. Now Elaine is mortally embarrassed. Let's try that again. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and I'm permanently mortally embarrassed. Don't worry about it.
So how many Eurovisions for you now?
I am still a relative virgin at this. This will just be my third Eurovision, my first being Serbia in 2008.
There we go. We're going to take the songs now, as usual. We're going to listen to them in full here, but for various reasons, most of them to do with copyright, legalese, lawyers and getting sued. You're going to hear 30 seconds of that song. If you want to have the full song, head back to the website. You'll find a link straight into Amazon where you can buy the physical CD, or also to the Eurovision.tv websites where you can buy the digital copies and put them straight onto your MP3 player. We're going to start off with Drip Drop by Safura, who's representing Azerbaijan. These tears drop, that drip drop, drip drop, drip drop, drip drop, whoa, whoa. I don't want to cry, I don't want to hear your name, if this is how it is. So there we have Azerbaijan, relative newcomers to Eurovision. They are absolutely desperate to win. Is this the one?
For me, no. To be honest, I find it all a little bit tedious. As the name would say, drip drop, it's like that damned tap that no matter how tight you tighten it, it's still drip drop. Oh no, drip drop, oh no. So it's not my cup of tea, I'm afraid, Ewan.
Now, you see, I'm quite loving it. It wouldn't be up in my top 10, but I think it's a very contemporary song. I like the style of her voice. I like the... It's got a kind of good R&B feel to it. It's probably, of all the songs this year, it's the one that's most likely to be a commercial success. But as to whether it's a winner, I'm not sure, but I like it.
Certainly it's missing that something that kind of elevates the songs that you think are going to be winners. So I actually think it's going to do very well. As I said, Azerbaijan throwing a lot of money in it. They've done countless remixes on this song. They've spent hundreds of thousands on the promotional video. They've got Beyonce's personal dance coordinator coming in, whereas we in the UK, we've got Louis Spence. No relation, thankfully. I'd like it to win, but it's just missing that final push over the edge in the last 30 seconds to take it to glory, I think. For me, I'm going to say this is a maybe. We've got hit, miss, or maybe, so do's or no, or six in the middle. It's a maybe for me. She might absolutely drop dead on the night, or she might actually just have a brilliant performance and drop everybody.
That's something I wanted to pick up on, Ewan, because I think, you know, what we've just listened to there is the studio version, and in studio, she's very, very strong. She does have a good voice, whereas she doesn't have the best live voice, and I don't know that she's going to be able to carry that off on the night.
So are we saying hit, miss, or maybe, do's or no?
I think it's a hit.
I will put it as a maybe, because although it's not my cup of tea, I can see what others like about it. But unfortunately, it falls into a rather large category for me this year of ballads that are okay.
Oh dear. Which might cause problems with our next song. It's Apricot Stone from Armenia. Armenia and Azerbaijan, of course, have a rather tempestuous relationship in real life, in politics and in the whole geographic sense. And they carry on that emotional arguments into Eurovision as well. The song that's leading the charge this year for them by Eva Rivas. Let's try this one on our jukebox jury. Apricot Stone.
Yeah, I'm loving that. I think that's really, really good. She's got a strong voice. It's got a catchy tune. I'm loving the kind of breathy, sexy quality of her voice. Yeah, it's good. I think that's a great one.
I do like this song. I've liked it from the first time I heard it, actually. It is a ballad, kind of, but it's not that dull, dreary ballad. It's something that lets me shake my thing. And for those of you in Eurovision land that know me, you will know how much I like to shake my thing.
The one thing for me is it just seems a boring song lyrically. I mean, it sounds good, it's got the good performance, but when you actually sit down and listen to the story that's behind the song, the emotional core, it just reminds me of a Catherine Cookson novel, and that does nothing for me.
I think the story is nice. I mean, this poor young girl, I mean, she had a traumatic childhood. You know, she had lots going on in her life. There's probably been all sorts of difficulties and whatever. And there's her mother giving her that lovely little apricot stone, and she's planting that in the ground, which is frozen, obviously. And she's planting that in the ground. It's growing up. It's a seed. It's hope. It's eternal optimism.
And next week on Rosemary in Time, another exciting murder.
Oh, how can I follow that?
I don't think you can. Shall we just listen to Lithuania?
I think we shall, yes.
Oh, actually, we still have to do Hit, Miss, or Maybe. I'm going to go miss on this one. Controversial, I suspect, but no, not from me.
It's a hit from me.
And it's a hit from me.
And now it's Lithuania. Hey, get up.
Well, that was Inculto representing Lithuania, and all I can say is this is one of my favourites. From the kazoo introduction to the sparkling hot pants at the end, I love it from beginning to end. Will I be dancing to their European funk? I certainly will.
And if you see them on a dance floor, will you be dancing with them?
I think they'll be dancing with me, honey.
I like this one as well. I think this will do very well from the Western European votes. And I can see Britain and Ireland giving this one the 12 points. I can't see this doing so well in Eastern Europe, strangely enough, and I think that might dull the edge of it. Lithuania always seems to take a fun entry into Eurovision. One of the countries that always seems to take the spirit of the Eurovision, of being together, of sharing, of enjoying, far more than that we want to win. We must win. We must portray our country as winners, which is good coming from the country that sent LT United, we are the winners of Eurovision, a couple of years ago. So I'm going to say hit, purely because I think it's going to do so well from the west of Europe that it doesn't matter what the east of Europe will do, it will pull it up to a mid to high table, possibly even top 10.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is what Eurovision's all about. This is fun. It's a group of guys, nice looking blokes, a bit off the wall. It's a bit chaotic. It's a bit, you know, it's a bit strange, but it's what people are going to tune into Eurovision for, and the hot pants are certainly going to pull in the votes. And can I also agree with Elaine? I think it's high time we had the return of the kazoo in Eurovision. It's been sadly missed.
Indeed, yes. And shame on Greece for editing out the Casio digital watch introduction to OPA. Bad Grace. Bad. We need alternative instruments. Do I need to ask if that's a hit from you, David?
It's a hit.
It's 5 hits for me.
And it's a hit for me, which means it's a theoretically impossible highest score ever here on Jukebox Jury. As always, you can leave comments on the show back at the website, which is ewanspence.com/blog, which will take you to the main site, or bit.ly/ewanesc will take you to everything else, or you can find it in iTunes, or so on and so on, and so on and so on. Right then, from the crashing delights, we might have the Eurovision Jukebox team crashing to despair with this one. Sweden is coming up again. Anna Bergenhall stealing a song title from Iceland, but not quite stealing the same sort of panache. This is My Life. Misty moon, you're gonna see. I've got your blues to get on my feet. Cause this is my life, my friend. And this is my time to stand. If there was ever an album entitled The 40 Top Songs to Commit Suicide To, that would be number 2 after the complete works of Tanita Tikaram. But it's just so... it's just slow. It's not inspiring. And I have to say, a white evening dress in the top half and black leggings and red Converse. Darling, that is so David Tennant. No. It's a miss for me. You know, Sweden have been saved by the juries in the semi-finals in previous years. They don't have that same sort of saving now because it's a combined vote. I think Sweden are not going to qualify.
Yeah, I'm a bit gutted about this. Sweden, unquestionably my favourite Eurovision country every year. This year, it is dull, Ewan. You're absolutely right. You know, a friend of mine said to me, she has the vocal qualities of Mary Hopkin and Marianne Faithfull. And I don't really know that the world needs another Mary Hopkin or Marianne Faithfull right now. Certainly not singing something like that. So I think it's a miss too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm afraid this song had an immediate problem for me because it wasn't Man Boy by Eric Saad. So it was never, ever going to have a hope. And I'd just like to point out, after Ewan's scathing comments on the white evening dress and leggings, I am seriously going back to the drawing board to rethink my opening night outfit.
And this also brings up a big point that Sweden has a huge national final. Melody Festival is massive. And I'm wondering if the problem Sweden has now is that Melody Festival has just veered too much away from Eurovision. People are entering songs that will win Melody Festival, but not necessarily songs that are good for Eurovision. You know, so are we ever going to see a victory from Sweden unless they shake up? But that's like saying, well, are ITV ever going to have enough hit if they change the format of The X Factor? It works for local national television, but does it work on an international level?
I think this year what the Swedes have done is they normally put in a typical Eurovision belter style song, which is very much about the dance routine. It's very hand clappy and hey and catchy and they know that their audience is going to love it. Whereas this year I think they've tried to do something a little bit different, but I think it's backfired on them, or I think in Oslo it's going to backfire on them, because people think of Sweden and Eurovision, they think of ABBA, they think of, you know, the catchy poppy instant pop songs, which this isn't really.
Indeed, yeah, and there's certain other of the Nordic countries that can supply that a lot better than Sweden this year. Right then, let's take our last one off we go here. I'm not even going to bother from that one. That is just miss, miss, miss. And if anybody thinks it otherwise, then no. No. Is there no? No, 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 no. No, I like that one. No. Right then, let's go with something that's probably a little bit stronger. Georgia, again, one of those small countries that believes that Eurovision will put them on the map. A lot of people know the name. I remember the Eurovision, Junior Eurovision documentary film, Teen Spirit, and the fact that they sent their first entry to Eurovision, and it meant so much to Georgia coming mid-table. And a lot of people forget just how important Eurovision is to every country that's not Ireland and the United Kingdom. This from Georgia is Shine, from the wonderfully complicated surname of Sophia Nizharadze. There we go. You see how you like this one? It's got a variance in the music. It's rising and falling. It's relatively repetitive, so people, you know, have that familiarity and feel that they know the song after 3 minutes. Yet it's not, again, it's rather like the other songs we've had tonight. It's not quite there.
I can imagine you already know what my views on this are going to be, Ewan.
They're not broadcastable. Try again.
It's another one of these songs that falls into that category. Wouldn't be out of place on Ms. Bergenthal's album you were mentioning earlier on. And also, it just was a big disappointment for me because when I saw the title Shine, all I could think of was last year's Netherlands, the toppers, the flashy suits, the pizza delivery boy. No.
Ah, the toppers, the reason why Europe does not have a sequin mountain. But what about Georgia, David?
Yeah, again, I mean, she's got a great voice, but the song for me is a roast beef dinner without the Yorkshire pudding. There's something missing. I don't know what it is. It's just not quite there.
Basically, what we're saying is Georgia need a bit more batter.
They need a bit more batter, a little bit more Yorkshire in their pudding.
I'm sure that's rude, but I'm just going to let it lie. Right then, so I'm going to say miss on this one. I was toying with maybe and the 6 points, but I think it's just going to get lost. So, and I mean lost, it's going to be in between other songs, and unless he gets a really good draw, it's not going anywhere. Miss.
It's a maybe for me. It's pretty, but as David has said, it just has no substance to it.
I'm going to make it a miss as well, because I just don't think it's instant enough for the juries.
Right then, so we have our five tracks there. Going backwards, we have Sweden with 0 points. Congratulations, keeping up the grand tradition of having somebody having the Easter egg. Georgia narrowly in front there on 6. Second equal, we have Azerbaijan and Armenia on 24, although Armenia get it on count back because they had 2 hits, and our Azerbaijan only had a hit and 2 misses. And our top of the table on this week's Eurovision Duke, I say this week's, we're running these every other day, on this every other day's jukebox jury is Lithuania. 3 hits, 3 doozies, 36 points. And the big question now is, can Inkulto actually go on and win?
Oh, that's a completely different question you've just asked me there, Ewan. If I'm honest, can it win? No. Should it win? Yes.
They haven't got hope in hell, but it's fab.
And that's, it will get through its semi-final quite easily. They will have a great time on the night. I suspect that this is one of the few songs that people are going to remember long after, especially, you know, the person who just tunes into Eurovision once a year. We start in, like, December. we don't stop until May. But the people who just tune in for that one show, this is going to be the sort of memorable one. Say, do you remember that one? It was all over the shop and everything.
Yeah, if I remember back rightly, LT United did reasonably well with their song, even though, and I believe that this is better than LT. It's less of a joke entry. It's a serious entry with a fun element for my, you know, in my point of view.
Let's be honest though, if Lithuania get into the final and they have 2 complete dirges either side in the second half of the draw, they've got a fighting chance.
Yeah, they could do. It's very much the luck of the draw, as it always is in Eurovision. And if they end up singing sort of like right at the very end of the contest after 15 consecutive dirgy ballads, then it's theirs for the taking. But you just, it's one of the unknown quantities, really.
And that is why we love it so much. Anyway, David, Elaine, thank you for coming on at Jukebox Jury.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you very much.
I don't remember that. We're slipping me your hypnol again, David. They will be back again, assuming that David hasn't been taken up in front of the Procurator Fiscal. And you can listen onto the podcast, as always, bit.ly/EwanESE or EwanSpence.com. Drop me an email, get in touch. Twitter is @Ewan or email EwanSpence@gmail.com. The Jukebox Juries will continue. Then I will fly over to Oslo. David and Elaine will be joining me there as well. Question and answer sessions will be coming from their live podcast interviews. And, of course, we will be having the downloadable alternative audio commentary if you don't want to listen to your national broadcaster or you're living in America and you have no idea what this podcast you're listening to is anyway. It just sounds fun because it has the word Azerbaijan in the title. It only remains for one more thing, the electrical guitars.